Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 27th. Joining us this morning, Simple Country therapist and incubator, Lou Quimby. Good morning,
sir.
Thank
you very much. Thank you.
Little summertime cold.
Cold, yes.
Going on, yeah. So
took a long trip. Came back. Last 12 hours, I got this. But it's better than doing it on the first 12 hours.
Yeah, actually, for a lot of us, it would have been preferred the middle.
Yeah, there's always that.
Yes. All right, why do we say that this morning,
sir? Oh, yes. That's from the Why Do We Say That book, right? This is an old one called Lock, Stock, and Barrel. How did lock, stock, and barrel come to mean all? There are three parts to a gun: the barrel, the stock, and the firing mechanism, or the lock. By enumerating all three, the totality is reaffirmed. It means everything: lock, stock, and barrel, the whole shebang. In lock, stock, and barrel, the lock part goes back to previous
flintlock.
Flintlocks,
yeah,
and whatchamacallit, which were more complicated. So that's it. That's all I got today.
It's easier than the whole Megillah, because then you got to get into cartoons.
The whole McGillicuddy. Yeah. Yeah, right. Who was McGillicuddy?
Oh. I've been wanting to ask over the last couple weeks or so about...
I'm glad you got something to ask,
because yes,
I'm totally dead here.
Good. Definitions. Functional definitions of words, personal definitions of words, emotional definitions of words.
Oh, there's that, yes.
And the sloppy use...
And then there's that.
Of
yeah.
words. Where does all this stuff ruminate from?
I look at two ways to look at words. One is the definition, which is in the dictionary. We've got to have standards somewhere. So the dictionary is the standard for the definition. And then the connotation is the meaning that people put to different words. And connotations have individual, family, regional, national meanings.
The emotional meaning of the word, or cultural meaning rather than the standard.
Cultural.
Yeah.
Because it isn't always emotional. Sometimes it's scientific.
Oh, sure.
So when you're listening to somebody and this happens in marriage. Lisa and I have been together for 52 years, and she says something, and I believe I understand it. And then I ask a question, and nope, sorry, Charlie, that's not what it means. So when people talk to each other, they talk with whatever they believe is their common understanding. And if they do, in fact, have some enough common understanding, they get along fine in proceeding toward something or other. You want to go over here? Okay. Well, what does okay mean? Do you want? That means you have a desire, which is different than are you willing to come over here with me, which is different than do you want? And then you want to do this? Okay. What does okay mean? Is that compliance? Is that wholehearted commitment with emotional wonderfulness? Oh, that'd be lovely. I was thinking what to do this morning, and I think that would be just the thing to do. That sounds wonderful. Too many words. Right. You want to do this?
Okay. Then that's followed by the stare, which is a whole different thing, the nonverbal communication. Yeah.
That's right. You want to do this? Okay. Now, sometimes okay is enough. When you've been married 52 years, there's an awful lot in common. And so sometimes okay is quite adequate.
Is okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you're new on a date, people often go along with their partner's inclinations because they don't want to offend, one. Two, they want to get along. Three, they want the relationship to deepen without hostility or aggravation or aggression. So they go, okay. Now, if the other person takes okay as a full, wholehearted commitment to being together with this activity, it could be a problem.
It's one of the areas that people will ask about this show. The question,
the show,
the
what
answer.
We're doing now?
Yeah, just not you specifically.
But right, the show.
But just the program itself, about the listening and the back and forth. When I hear that question that you were saying, with an okay response,
yeah,
I get frustrated.
You do.
Because it's a yes-no question. It's not equivocating. It's not open-ended. It's, do you like brownies?
Well,
okay, now I'm in trouble because I'm starting to go. It was a very simple black and white.
It is a simple black and white. Do you like brownies?
Yeah. Did you run the stoplight?
No, there's.
Well, there are. Yes or it's no.
There are some questions that are simply yes or no. And then there's a variety of exceptions to that. So it's yes, no, maybe, sometimes. Do you like brownies? Sometimes. Sometimes I feel like a brownie and a cup of coffee. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. The old Mounds commercial.
Right, right.
Almond Joy commercial. So not everything is a yes and no. And if the yes and no is in the asker's mind, then they have a preconceived idea about that. That could be a problem.
We'll continue with my problem then when we come back. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We are back this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of yes or no and questions and the questioner asking a question where I don't want the story. Simple yes or no. Yeah. Did you buy the blank? Yes or no? I don't care where it was made. I don't care how long it's, you know, aging and all.
How about the color?
Did you get the bottle of wine?
How about the shape?
Well, it was a 19 and no. I lost the bottle? That's what where is the, you know, I mean, sometimes it's really cut and dry and people want to give the story. And on the other side, sometimes you ask a question because you want the information. And you get a yes or no.
And that has to do with how you inquire, too. If you say, tell me about, then you're asking for a story. If you say, did you buy new tires? That's
yes,
pretty
no.
simple.
Oh, what kind did you
That's
choose?
That's a pretty simple yes or no.
Yeah. And then the follow-up is, at least for many, the follow-up is where the story is.
Yeah, right. And if it's a no,
there's no story.
There's no story, right. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
No story.
Yeah, you move on. Are people, do you find with the folks that you discuss stuff with, are they cavalier about their words? Do they not use words specifically, more of a laziness in the word selection they have or lack of exposure so they don't know some of the multiple definitions? Or is it the receiver who starts to interpret
I think about children growing up and how they have to defend themselves against either aggressive parenting or teachering, as far as that goes. It doesn't have to be parents. It can be teachers.
The authority figure.
Yeah, yeah. Did you or didn't you steal the pencil? pause. Long pause.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe. And children don't have as many options for confronting authority as grown-ups do. So they're not liable to say, "Why do you ask?" to somebody who's about four heads taller than they are.
Or if they did, either the authority would start laughing uncontrollably.
Yeah,
or appreciating the irony, or take great offense.
Or take great offense. Yeah. And those children go, "I'd say, which way am I going here? Yeah. Am I going to have to weasel out of this, or do I admit it straight up and get sent to my room for a month? Or
the win isn't worth the risk of the loss.
Is it?" Yeah. And so kids learn, one, how to lie, and two, how to modify their responses. So if you ask a simple yes or no question, "You want to eat?"
Sure.
Okay. Now, if it's a sure, then you're going along the same path, and it ain't if anymore, it's
when and
how,
what.
Where, and what. And do we go out? Do we stay in? Do we cook? Do we raid the refrigerator? Do we have cold cuts, or do we make something hot? Or, okay. So, are you hungry? Well, maybe.
Depends on what's for dinner. That was a fave for us growing up.
Depends on what you have in mind. Yeah. How about mac and cheese? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we'd have vegetables.
Yeah, liver and onion.
Liver and onion and all green vegetables. Yeah. Gee, that sounds swell, Mom. Yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah. And kale.
And kale, yeah. Yeah, liver and onions and kale. Gee, my favorite dinner, Mom. So it depends on what people have in their head about the possible consequences. And mostly people want to avoid bad consequences, like liver, onion, and kale. Yeah. But some people like liver and onions and kale. I've never met one, but
they must. In theory, they must exist.
There's got to be somebody out there.
Yeah.
The phone is ringing now.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy. So, yes and no questions are. There are yes and no questions. If you come to an intersection and somebody's giving you directions to go left or right, and if they go, "I don't know," and traffic is piling up behind you, well, now the driver's got a problem.
Quick decision and live with the consequences and
yeah.
Move on, yeah.
So you turn right and there's no outlet. Dead end, no outlet. And you're pulling a trailer and now you have to turn around. Oops.
Get to know the neighborhood.
Well, get to know the person you're depending on for instructions would be useful too. And if you're with a total stranger, well, there you go. But if you're with a partner who maybe is passive aggressive and you're too actively aggressive, the one way they can get even with your active aggression is by passive aggression. So they send you down the cul-de-sac with a trailer. And you have to back and fill, back and fill, back and fill, back and fill, just to get out of the damn cul-de-sac.
Oh, I'll help you. I'll get out at the back end.
Yeah, and I'll give you directions. Gee, that's swell.
And just for those who are natively curious, I do not have a trailer hitch on the truck. Oh, too much fun. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We will be back with more from Lou.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Simple Country therapist Lou Quimby. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Ag Credit, and by Lolita Cheese.
Lou, Lolita Cheese.
Lolita Cheese.
That's the last one.
Mr. LaFranchi, yes. He probably taught at Eureka High when Lucy was there.
Say again.
He was the ag teacher when Lucy was yearbook, I think, wasn't she, when she came over from Zane?
Yeah, I think so.
I think, yeah.
Speaking of cheese.
In Spanish, yeah.
While we were on the trip, who's the local cheesemaker, the goat cheese people?
Oh, yeah, the Chev.
The Chev.
Yeah,
we were on the boat, and one of the menu items was Humboldt Le Chev cheese.
The Humboldt Fog.
Humboldt Fog, yeah. And I'm thinking, geez, it's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah, yeah. It would be interesting, some of the founding fathers, if they were here today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How the dynamics may or may not change.
Tough. You've done what with my country?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sneak attacks probably aren't quite so sneaky.
We thought we'd give you guys a good start, but look what you've done.
Yeah. We spent a little time so far, Lou, talking about the verbal communication and hearing what is being said. What about the nonverbal? I have read too many books that indicate that 80 to 85% of communications are nonverbal.
Pretty much.
So with that, are there nonverbal tics, clues that we should be looking for also as part of our attempt to communicate with somebody verbally?
Sure.
And include that nonverbal?
Oh, sure. And professional people do it on purpose. They smile. They make eye contact. They extend their hand.
Well, the shark smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I'm around those people, I withhold myself. I don't like the hail fellow well met, slap on the back, shake hands, make nice. It takes me a while to warm up. And I don't like being maneuvered and manipulated, but I don't have any choice.
Yeah, some situations.
I will be maneuvered and manipulated because that's what people do. There's no two ways about it. So I've had to learn to some extent to go along, to get along. And that's been an interesting learning curve for me because it has to do with the social interactive manipulation. And because I'm a control freak, I don't like being manipulated. I like to run my own life.
Oh, I thought you were going to say manipulate others.
Well, I do. Everybody manipulates everybody. That's,
yeah, but some I would suggest are more overt than others.
Oh, yeah, but you know, I don't like being manipulated. And so I finally realized that I don't have a lot of choice. I'm going to be manipulated whether I like it or not. The only choice I have is what do I do with it. So after long, hard trial and error, I decided the best way to deal with it is to be gracious.
You got tired of having to bend over and pick up your teeth?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And you can pick up one tooth or a whole mouthful or whatever. So I decided that it's more economical to be gracious about it. It doesn't, in and of itself, it is not determinant of a whole lot. It just means being a little extra pleasant and saying some extra words. Hi, hello, how are you? It's so nice to be here. Now, it's so nice to be here. What does that mean? All it is an invitation for somebody else to say, so nice to have you here. That's it. It's just a social ritual. And the only meaning it has is, I'm not going to fight with you, and you're not going to fight with me. Thank you so much. That's what it means, is we're not going to fight with each other. So being gracious about that is smart.
Focusing on the nonverbal cues. What?
Oh,
in negotiations, they talk about, okay, if somebody has their arms crossed.
Arms crossed.
Is different than, or in the legs crossed, or both of them, or snoring very loudly during the conversation. There are some that are legit, and I would think that there are some that could become personal habits that may or may not carry message. So as you're communicating, with someone. What are there absolute with the nonverbals? I mean, other than like the snoring or somebody getting up and leaving the room. I mean, there's certain things that, you know, even I can pick up on pretty readily. What are some of those base things we ought to be looking for or paying attention to?
Well, one thing is whether or not they ask clear questions or open-ended questions. Clear questions have to do with a data trail that is a fork in the road. Open-ended questions are like, tell me your story, or what do you think about? So on this trip, one guy says, what do you think about Trump? Well, I know better than to put my head in that trap, right? So I always start those with, why do you ask? Or, let's not talk about politics. I'm having a good time here. Implication being, if we talk about politics, I won't be having a good time. And now it's on him, socially, to make sure he doesn't rain on my parade, have a bad time. So, there's the asking for specifics, and then asking general questions. What do you think of? I remember was Mahatma Gandhi was asked, what do you think of Western civilization? He said, it would be nice.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept, or the recognition, I guess is probably more accurate, of the nonverbal communications.
It
obviously changes people age also in different cultures. I mean, that's very well documented.
Right.
Paying attention, I guess, is kind of what the bottom line is, isn't it?
Kids learn how to manipulate parents, and parents learn how to manipulate children. And what kids do is they watch what parents do, their face, their body, their tone of voice. They listen to the tone of voice. They listen to the words. And they make assessments about how effective the kid can be with the parent based upon how they assess the parent's availability, as it were. So if they want special food, for example, Mom, would you make mac and cheese for lunch? If Mom's got a pounding headache or migraine, or Mom just stubbed her toe and she's screaming in pain, that's not the time to ask Mom about making special food. So kids learn about circumstances of other people's
timing,
presentation, whether they're happy, sad, angry, preoccupied. And so the kids start looking for optimal nonverbal okayness, if you please, so that they can then forward their desire, their request. And kids are acutely aware of parents' mood, framework, availability, accessibility. And so kids learn early in childhood how to assess nonverbals. Now, they may not be able to verbalize what they see and what they know about their parents, but they're certainly expert at it. Then they go to school, and then they have teachers, and then they start assessing these other authority figures with the same circumstances, and they know they have to raise their hand in class rather than just burst out with stuff. So they learn some of the advanced social structure things. So they start generalizing then what they learn at home with mom and dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, maybe neighbor people. They start generalizing that in when they go to school, and then they start working then with better social skills.
It's all an evolution.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you, sir.
You
get
bet.
Over your cold. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
See everybody else tomorrow morning.